Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
All right, how are you, Andrew?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. It's school holidays next week, so we're kind of preparing for that right now.
I think this consumes more energy than going to the office.
True. Okay, cool. So let's kind of dive right in. Just kind of looking at market movements, even in, say, in the U.S. rates. Surprisingly, over the past week, it has not been that volatile. Obviously, I saw like move, or like vol, but it's all like post-election, I guess. I guess first, before we dive into politics too much, let's go back. What were your big takeaways, market movements, data, speeches over the past week?
So, I mean, things have been moving my way, basically. I'm positive on the economy. I'm thinking inflation is going to prove stickier than what the Fed is hoping for. So we had
We're a
repair.
long way from the emergency cuts that several banks were calling for in August or July, I think it was.
I think that a big chunk of my job is really keeping my eyes on the data and ignoring the noise. And so data-wise, retail sales surprised everybody.
That was a big one.
Yeah, that was a big one. But again, retail sales, for some reason, get a lot of visibility. It's a little bit like CPI and PCE. From the Fed perspective, PCE is more important, but CPI gets all the attention. I mean, it's changed now a little bit. People are trying to estimate the PCE, but it's the same
Is
with
that
retail
partly because CPI comes out for the CPI come out first for the same
sales.
period?
And also, CPI is what's used in to compute the value of linkers.
So that's more.
But in the case of consumption, we get comprehensive data at the end of the month. And retail sales is only a subset. It's basically goods and restaurant spending. We get the whole release at the end of the month, which gets almost no market attention. But from my perspective, it's a more important one. So yeah, the retail sales much higher than expected. It's great. I didn't have to explain why the data doesn't agree with my view and why I'm not changing my view still. The claims also,
That's a pretty good job, right?
lower. I mean, so the picture we got this week was continuing economic strength.
It could claims be affected by the hurricanes in Florida, or is it more likely the other way?
Sorry,
Well,
what was the...
is the idea that those claims numbers were affected at all by the hurricanes in Florida
Yeah.
or no?
Yes, they were a bit last week, but this week it seems to be all back to where we were before, which is a picture of a tight labor market. So not much. Okay, we got industrial production, which again, the US is a services-driven economy, and for all the billions of dollars in taxpayer money that have been given to the private sector, if you look at manufacturing employment, it's been flat for the past 2 years. And industry is
Which is
like
surprising, though.
10, 15% of GDP. So for me, there's nothing to get really excited.
Automation.
Pardon?
Automation.
Well,
All the
we
money going
were
to manufacturing robots, robotic like
100%.
manufacturing.
No, but it's extraordinary because there is a Harvard economist with a great reputation called Danny Roderick, who has been shouting from the rooftop that what we need is not to spend, billions on subsidies to private manufacturing, but what we need is to find a way to raise the productivity of services job so that people can have better paying jobs. And what's crazy is that if you had only one politician who would pay attention and try to find a sensible way to implement Roderick's plan,
You have to explain
it
that
would
out.
be power for the next generation. And yet no one is picking up on the idea. It's
But
a
generally,
problem.
productivity is higher, is growing in the US, right?
So
Productivity,
productivity
yeah.
is up a bit, but we've just gone through big moves in GDP down and then up. And as we've discussed many times, we are converging to the trend from up. Also, right now we are going above trend. Trend is 2%, and for all the talk of soft landing by the Fed, we're going at 3% last quarter. And if you look at the Atlanta Fed nowcast, 3.2%. So we need
It's,
more
by the way,
time.
it's crazy that so many people, the Americans say, you know, that, I mean, obviously there's a bifurcated maybe recovery, but like if you watch almost any news channel, you would not believe the US is growing at 3% or plus. You know, you think it'd be in the middle of a recession and
So, yeah, so I agree, but actually there is some factual basis to the gloominess. So in general, yes, the news are biased because you are much more likely to get people to click
yeah,
if you
negative.
are predicting the end of the world than if you say everything's fine. But there is an issue, another one which leaves me scratching my head that no one is really picking up on it, which is real wages. If you look at real wages, take the favorite Fed indicator, which is the employment cost index, which is kind of a median wage, if you will.
Yeah.
In real term, deflated, so deflated by the CPI, it's actually lower than in
Yeah,
2019.
I guess that's the issue. And then
That's
a
what
lot of the
people are.
growth, if you put 10% more consumers in, and obviously not going to consume, you know, like illegal aliens come in, of course growth is going to be overall look higher because you're just going to have a lot more consumers.
100%.
Yeah.
And in fact, what's interesting, if you look
Doesn't
at
mean
Canada,
productivity has gone up. Yeah.
yeah, if you look at Canada, growth per worker, growth has been positive, no question. But growth per capita, so per person, it's actually been shrinking.
Yeah. Okay, fine. It's a good, yeah, good point.
So not much. So looking at
Yeah,
the
need
past
to hang
week,
and stuff. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm happy that, you know, the market didn't move because, okay, sales was a big surprise. If you look at the economic surprise index, it's been going up.
I'm just looking at it now. It's basically been going up from mid-August, pretty like straight line almost for the US. I'm looking, yeah.
Exactly. So it's a mean reverting index. I think we're, what, just about above zero, so we're
Yeah,
going to.
eventually, if numbers look so bad, people keep dropping estimates for those numbers. So eventually,
Exactly.
it should
Expectations
balance
are
out.
happy.
Yeah.
100%. So we're probably going to have a few more surprises. But the big surprise of all is, of course, the election.
What election? They saying? It's going to be like $2 billion spent or something? I think Kamala Harris has raised more than $1 billion or something.
It's extraordinary. She is
Okay.
rising, but she's not climbing in
I
the
know.
pole.
By the way, I'm always like, obviously we're in the UK, you know, and the idea, not condoning it, but the idea like the leader of the UK, not that I'm particularly a fan of it, but like that he got $30,000 in suits or whatever it is, versus $1 billion on each shot is being spent to become president, is like the dichotomy between these two things is just insane to me. But anyway.
Yeah, same with French politics. I often think about that. It's extraordinary. But yet, if you look at the quality of policy making, is it really much better in the UK than in the US? I'm not sure. I think if you have concentration of economic power, which I think is happening in the UK as much as in the
Yeah,
US,
yeah.
people find ways to influence politics. And whether it's with these absurd amounts of money that are raised and spent, or, you know, other ways, maybe, you know, in the UK, politicians are more austere. So 35,000 in clothes is a big deal. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, the whole election process in the US is broken, in my view. How much money is being spent is insane. But anyway, yeah, so Yeah, we were just talking offline before starting. Obviously, that it looks like Trump's growing in likelihood, but obviously there's still a lot of time left. But if we see a Trump victory, I guess it depends. We can do it like in the next few weeks, go more deep. But I guess Trump victory and full Republican sweep. Does that affect the, I guess that probably does affect the Fed.
Yes, but not immediately.
Yes.
So I think the Fed will feel a bit awkward about cutting 50 basis point before the election, especially since the data after that turned out to be very strong.
Yes.
But they can't, because and to be fair to the Fed, there is a great deal of uncertainty on what Trump will actually do.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. And he won't even come into power till January anyway.
right.
Yeah.
So the Fed will be in wait and see mode. If the data continues to be strong, they may not do the December cut, but I think the November cut is on, simply because there is not, you can't argue for a big deviation relative to the SCP. Okay, growth and unemployment are likely to be better than what they have in the SCP, but core PC, I mean, not enough prints to argue that we are super far from the 2.6% they have penciled in.
Just amazing. I know both you and Antonio have been saying for like, yeah, there's a lot of cuts priced out for next year.
Well, yeah, I long, yeah, I just, it's, I don't think it can happen unless, something very
Really
sus
bad.
happens to the US. I don't know, another pandemic, God knows what. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't want to change my view before the elections. I guess I'm assuming that we get the result on the day, which we may not. That's another thing to factor in.
So I guess, yeah, anything else stands out? Then I did want to ask you about one thing before we go, about like I know you've kind of focused on the housing market, which obviously is a big part of the US economy. Has that changed at all? Do you feel like it's kind of okay, picking up, still weakening a little bit, or how, you know?
So the housing market is the most interest rate sensitive component of GDP. It's small. It's only 3.5% of GDP. So it's not a big deal. In fact, what's striking is that we've had a housing recession in 2022, and yet the GDP, we had a big recovery. So, housing investment has re started to recover already. I think if the Fed doesn't cut, it's going to limit the recovery. But the recovery was always, in my view, going to be limited because of affordability. I mean, affordability of housing in the US is worse. It's the worst ever. It's worse than it was just before the GFC. And the problem is that even if the Fed cuts as they are planning to, we may have more of an impact on the price of housing than on the quantity, because of this mortgage lock-in effect. People are not putting their properties on the market, so inventories are very small. And we have a supply response of housing that is limited by basically all kinds of not in my backyard type of regulations. And so, yeah, and and it shows a limit of public policy. Even if you give subsidies, you want to give, Harris wants to give subsidies to first-time buyers, but it's not very clear that the subsidies will benefit the buyers. They may well end up benefiting the sellers and prices going up. Just like college loans from the government have basically played a big role in this absurd increase in college fees because the supply is more or less fixed. And so when you give money to buy more, prices go up. So if you really want to take a dig at this housing crisis, you have to change the rules. You have to get the state, the local authority to change the rule. It's very long term. It's not at all what a politician can do and see results, within the next 2 years. So anyway,
I mean, I think there's
my opinion.
another. I listened to some podcasts and they were talking about because of the hurricane. I mean, you have one state, Florida, although that's a pretty big populous state. And that the insurance premiums, even though you just had two hurricanes, the insurance premiums are really going to go significantly higher, and the state subsidizes some of that, but it's only going to subsidize so much, and that could hit house prices. That people, if you have to pay, if you have to pay property tax there, which is like between 2 to 2.5%. And then you have to pay another 3 or 4%. Let's say it's 4 if you live on the coast. If you're talking about 6, 7% of your house price, and then prices are stagnant, yeah, then it's kind of like,
And there is an issue of
and I
sure
hate
about
to say it, you see stock market doing well, you're like, what am I doing?
100%. Plus, there is a general issue that we, again, I'm not hearing anything, any plan from politicians, which is where should we build? I mean, is Florida a place where you should build given how exposed it is to extreme weather events? And as you said, I mean, there is a big issue in Florida in the sense that new house buyers cannot get private insurance. They are getting insurance from the state. And
No,
so,
I think what happens, in some cases they're getting private insurance, but or they're not at all. Yes, or getting some kind of, but the state has a fund to support rebuilding efforts, and but that fund is like being overwhelmed by $30 billion, $40 billion, losses
events,
from events from one hurricane.
So what are we? So I'm still waiting to hear from the Trump or the Harris campaign. What are we doing about, these extreme weather
I'm
events
not
and
sure
how?
anyone's really going to comment. But it's
Where
good.
is the plan? Anyway, so in terms of Fed, we have mainly, so we'll get the beige book. Which I found, I joke that it's very beige. It is. I mean, seriously. And other than that, I think we have mainly
See, people
the.
don't just get insights, they get financial economic comedy with us.
Is it, well, we're just trying to tell it to our clients the way we see it. I mean, we want to be helpful. Should you
We want to
spend.
make it fun too, right?
Well, that as well, but should you spend 3 hours going through the finer point of the beige book? My answer is no. You're not going to get enough insight to
Exactly.
justify
Right.
your
By the way,
pick.
we have AI doing that anyway. So reach out to
100%.
us for that.
This is something that the chat will handle better and faster than any human being. I completely agree. So, I mean, what's not worth in terms of speakers next week? So we have mainly a Fed president. We have Governor Bowman giving a quick speech, but she's going to repeat what she said, and looks like she's being proven wrong that, the 50 basis point cut was not a good idea.
Yeah,
Also,
she's proven
we
right. She was proven right.
Yeah, but so far, this French say, don't sell the skin of the bear before you have killed it. Well, anyway. And then we have the president, the new president of the Philly Fed, sorry, Cleveland Fed, who is giving her inaugural speech. But that's it. So I guess basically it's a week for us to, ponder at the polls and the betting markets and maybe the greater uncertainty about the election is how long it will take to get the results, rather than because the market impact. I mean, positive equity, negative bonds. I mean, I don't want to sound blasé, but we've been obsessing about this for a while. I think this is quite reasonable, this assessment of market impact. Maybe the bigger uncertainty is do the candidate accept the result? How long does it take to have them? That's about it.
Anything else for kind of people to be thinking about?
No, I mean, get ready for the next week, where we will have events galore, and then the election, and then the Fed. So take a big breath, a big deep breath next week, basically.
And then just quick highlight a few things. Even a few things that came out today. Antonio's piece kind of echoing a lot of your sentiment. I guess Makarov debate number two, no recession, higher rates, which is a super cool piece. We've a bunch of people asked questions about the Fed's LLM sentiment index that
That is uber cool.
which has been super cool, and we're going to build that out a lot, and that's eventually going to be into a dashboard. Also, understand it, or topical analysis as well. That would also be across speakers. Also, then ability to, I think, would be super cool is to look at across global central banks as well, sentiment there. But there's a piece come out today answering a bunch of questions, Henry on global rates, a weekly. Obviously, trading all this hawkish focus on fixed income in general. Neil put out a great piece. Continue. This is the second piece on FX volatility, and actually, the asking the questions, does actually interest rate vol drive FX vol? And this is then diving into the relationship on short date, the value in richness and cheapness in short date vol, and been getting amazing feedback there. By the way, on that, we'll be releasing hopefully in the next few weeks an updated event monitor, which will incorporate a lot more kind of insights, including you'll be able to overlay what are the event weights are. So, like looking at the forward vol and stripping at just the event weights and comparing that to historical moves in the past. So, that should be something super valuable. We're also trying to, by the way, from feedback we've gotten from clients, tie in kind of Sam's economic prediction models, and then what would be the potential impact if our predictions are correct, and comparing that to what's priced in the market. Thank you for everyone who's given some cool feedback from that, and happy to discuss deeper on that. That should be a good kind of summary of a lot of the stuff we're talking about. New trade idea in dollar China, looking for stuff in new trade ideas in sterling as well. And obviously, wish everyone a wonderful weekend and good luck.